Howdy all, and welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. It's been a while, and you are hearing a different voice. This is the voice of Jack Manuel, and I am joined by the incomparable Nick Faye. How are we, Nick?
I'm great, Jack. I'm happy to talk to you. Seeing all these Aussies in the playoffs balling out, I got to talk to my main man, Jack. Switching up today, letting Jack host and spicing up the show.
Yeah, so I thought Nick and I had gotten to slid into each other's DMs, as we like to do, and I thought we'd talk D'Lo. We'll get a bit of an in-depth deep dive on the future of our budding franchise star, D'Angelo Russell, how his season's been, what his future is he a possible all-star, what is his ceiling. So, Nick, start us off. What was, if you're grading D'Angelo Russell this season for me out of A, B, C, D, what are you going to give him? I mean, it's hard, obviously, with his injuries, but I trust your judgment more than anyone.
I'm going to be hard on him because I expect a lot, and I think the talent is there and there's some issues, but I'm going to give him a solid B. And yep. I think consistency is a problem from him, you know, aggression at times, losing the mental game, kind of getting pushed out sometimes by, you know, weaker defenders or weaker players. I think D'Lo definitely could step up a little more. Like you mentioned, I think he missed 32 games this season. He still averaged 15 points a game, almost 4 rebounds, 5 assists. The shooting percentages are what are a little bit scary, around 40% from the field, 32% from three. Not great numbers, but the flashes were there. You know, we saw the flashes of greatness, not only offensively scoring, you know, getting hot from three, getting in the lane, the layup packages, you know, but also the passing. I think the passing is something I was very excited with when they made the trade and I felt was underrated. And late in the season, we saw some of the elite passing that D'Angelo has that, you know, not many players in the NBA have that type of skill set that he has right now at 6'5", playing point guard and doing the things he can do. Just about consistency is the main issue for D'Lo.
Yeah, consistency certainly is a thing. And I mean, lots of people like to have comparisons when it comes to a lot of different players, but you mentioned his overall package in terms of his body and in terms of his skill set, you know, his passing and his height and his athleticism. You know, he's lacks a little bit of athleticism in terms of his speed, but his craftiness and his overall strength. You look at his body, you know, obviously everyone says, and I think Damari Carroll mentioned the fact that, you know, everyone's going to be heading into the weight room, Kim Karras and such, but he's got a good body and a good frame to sort of build with. And, you know, that size that he has and his vision, you know, some of his no-look passes, and he's really sort of, it's almost like he slows the game down with his passes when whether it's a bullet pass or whether it's like a bounce pass. It's almost like the game is in slow motion. It might be a 24-second clock, but it feels like a college like 35-second clock with him. Do you think that's the point of emphasis, him going into next season, keeping down those turnovers and, you know, letting the scoring come to him because we know he's an efficient scorer? Or is it his perimeter shooting, getting to the line, or is it a combination of those things?
I think it's a combination. I think at times he kind of determines what he's going to do before he actually does it, where he needs to react a little bit more. I also agree. I think that he should play a little bit more as a point guard. You know, if the team needs scoring or they're in a drought, you know, go for it. Take on the one-on-one, hit that little mid-range fadeaway that you know, have done so well all season. But also get the guys involved. Set up the offense. Sometimes, you know, one simple pass, it might not lead to a bucket, but it'll take somebody out of position and set the next guy up. And I think that's something where D'Angelo kind of learned, like, all right, if I do this, I'm going to help my teammate. And it might not directly allow him to score, but hey, I might pass it to Karras and it might allow Rondé to score.
Yeah, those secondary assists certainly are a thing that I hope he's tracking. Where the number of three turnovers per game is obviously not ideal for a guy like D'Lo. Now, obviously, this is only really the second year that he's been running a team. I mean, if you want to count in LA, a couple of those years, probably not. But where do you see that number? Where do you see the ideal number for a guy like D'Angelo Russell? Obviously, you know, the high turnover rates aren't necessarily a thing because you look at James Harden, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. They have huge high turnover numbers because of their usage. Obviously, D'Lo has a high usage as well. But do you think that number three needs to come down?
It's tough to say. I need to see him in a full row. I don't think three is terrible if he's playing, you know, 30-plus minutes. Like this year, he played under 30 minutes, so I think three is probably a little bit much. He really only played 25 a game, but those numbers are kind of misleading because of returning from injury. He had some games where he really didn't play much. I think three is okay if he's playing, you know, 36 and he's averaging like 7 or 8 assists. You know, a comparison, I want to throw a comparison out there. I'd like to see his game And I'm not saying, you know, he's going to be an MVP type player, but I think a James Harden, CJ McCollum kind of combo, I mentioned that to you before. I think, you know, the lack of explosion is something he can work on. I think going to the gym and lifting weights not only is going to make him stronger, but people forget, like, you know, if you lift weights, you actually do get faster and you can jump higher. It's a real thing. It's not like, you know, you're set at this one speed, this one vertical. You can improve on that. Ask Jeremy Lin about that. And I think, you know, you said the free throws. I think free throw wise, he needs to get in the lane. His pump fakes are amazing. His fake game is elite. Like, he has guys jumping all over the place, and he's not even the most amazing scorer. And the fact that he gets guys in the air, he needs to get more free throws. And that can be the way that people hate, like, James Harden. Like, I don't really care, and I don't think what James Harden does is bad. People complain about it all day. But what he does is get free throws, slows down the game, allows his team to get back on defense, and gets easy buckets. You know, if you're having a bad game, knock down six free throws, you're feeling good. You've seen the ball go through the basket.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned CJ McCollum, one of the best pull-up jumpers in the NBA. D'Lo certainly has that. And one thing that CJ probably isn't taking is as much these days is those long twos. And he's three-point range as well as that mid-range. Yeah, and they're the most inefficient shot in today's NBA. I mean, LeBron took a million of them against the Raptors, but he was literally experimenting on the fly last night. But his per 36 numbers are really interesting that I like. 21.8 points, 7.3 assists, 5.6 rebounds, all career highs. Now, if those were per 34 numbers, that would be perfect for me, because I think that's the range that Coach Kenny's probably going to play him when he's at his best, when he's at his peak, 34, 35 minutes. I don't see him playing a huge amount of minutes, especially when we have such a deep point guard rotation. In saying that, Nick, obviously, is that going to lessen the impact of D'Lo, or do you think that, you know, he's number one in this sort of point guard pecking order that we now have?
I think if he wants to prove something to Kenny, he comes into camp in amazing shape. He grinds all summer long. He comes in elite conditioning, and he can play higher minutes. If you're playing great, Kenny's not going to take you out. And that means if you're hustling on both ends, people will be like, well, you know, he took D'Angelo out when he knocked down a ton of threes. Yeah, but was D'Angelo putting in great effort defensively? I don't know. And that was a big issue for him this season. Some of the hustle plays I think he needs to step up on. We saw games where Rondé played 40-plus minutes, games where Joe Harris played 40 minutes. You know, there's games – Damari Carroll's another guy. When you're playing great and you're playing both ends of the floor, Kenny will leave you in there, especially if you're conditioned to do it. He's a young guy, only being 22. I think the gym is the spot where D'Lo needs to spend all summer. You know, he has the talent to be one of these elite players. And I, like you said, the per 36 numbers are there. Like, if he put those numbers up all season, he definitely could squeeze into an all-star game and the Nets can have a decent season. So I think D'Angelo, he's shown us everything. It's just about putting in the work, getting the experience, kind of reacting to the NBA and growing up. You know, he's only 22, like I mentioned. You know, when you're 22, you don't really have an understanding of life or how things are going. He's lucky enough to have all this experience in the NBA. So I think this season he has a really good chance to put it all together.
Ed, do you see him being an all-star next season, the season after, Nick? Now, last time our Nets had an all-star was Joe Johnson 4 years ago, so it's been a while. The Nets are obviously growing and, you know, rebuilding a culture, let alone, you know, an entire team and a winning culture for that matter. When do you see D'Lo or Caris LeVert or Jarrett Allen, but D'Lo specifically, being an all-star?
I think there's a possibility he's an all-star this season. And that's not even just being biased. I think the potential is there. I'm not ready to guarantee it, but it could happen this season if he puts it together. I think for me, it's just the consistency. If he can do it on a regular basis, put in effort on both ends. I think defensively, he doesn't have the elite athleticism or the foot speed, but he does have the size and the wingspan, which can allow him to kind of make up for some things. He's not a terrible off-ball defender in terms of helping his teammates out. It's a lot of focus and effort on defense. And I think if he puts in some energy there, makes a few hustle plays, gets rid of some of the turnovers, not the turnovers where he's trying to force a pass. I don't really mind those as much. It's more so just the stupid ones. You know, he has a couple here or there where it's just like, come on, D'Angelo, you're better than that. Some of the bad shots, like we talked about a lot in the buzz this season, the pull-up threes, you know, we don't need that. If you're hot, maybe you can do it, but the catch and shoot, you're a lot better. You know, take away some of those long-range shoes like you mentioned, Jack. Also, I did, you know, throw some, you know, he had some great layups this season, but he also missed a lot of layups, especially for somebody who does a great job of getting in the paint. And I mentioned this before, you know, Joe Johnson did a thing where he kind of went over the pick and roll and got the guy in his back hip. We saw D'Angelo do that a lot. James Harden does that a lot. And if you do that, you need to have a great teardrop. So I think if D'Lo works on his inside game, it would be huge for his, you know, overall efficiency.
Yeah. And when talking, if you compare it to guys,
what do you think though, Jack? What do you think all-star wise?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tricky next year when I think it's a possibility because Goran Dragic and Kyle Lowry are obviously heading towards the end of their careers, and those two guys have been sort of stalwarts in terms of all-star potential. I think Dragic was lucky to get in over Ben Simmons. That's not bias. That's just facts.
That's facts.
Really. The fact that Goran Dragic is giving shade to him on Twitter is, I love it. It's what makes the NBA awesome.
Goran Dragic already annoyed me in the playoffs in the first round when he like started flexing in front of Marco Bellinelli. Now he's trying to throw shade at Ben Simmons. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're not even that great to be talking shit to somebody like Ben Simmons, who's going to be an elite player in the NBA.
I know, and it's the fact that Ben Simmons probably should have made it is enough, is saying enough in itself. But the fact that he's in the East, I feel like gives him a chance. So Kyle Lowry, who knows what could happen with the Raptors following this series with the
Very
Cavaliers.
True.
There's so many possibilities that could happen. But I still think that he's got another year in him, another building year. I don't see, health is probably going to be the number one thing for him. I think he's got a lot of all the tools there. And I think that when we started the season 5-7, D'Lo was, you know, in all these crazy stats with like DeMarcus Cousins, LeBron James and stuff. Obviously his usage was high and his efficiency was okay. So I just see consistency, like you mentioned, is going to be the key to him winning that all-star nod. And even then, you know, I feel like that there's a lot of young talent building as well in the NBA. So it's certainly getting deeper and the East is getting stronger, despite the fact that there are some aging stars as well. So I feel like probably the year after is probably going to be his year. Now, in saying that, he's still only 21, 22. And when we're comparing that to guys like James Harden, CJ McCollum, you know, his per 36 numbers compare perfectly. You know, he's better in most of the categories. So he's certainly got the potential. It's just whether it all sort of forms together to in terms of health and consistency and winning.
The Nets winning is, I think, a big factor too. If they, you know, are in the playoff hunt, it'll be a lot easier for them to get in. If they're in the bottom of the East, you know, it's not really like they want to give somebody an all-star bid. And I think another thing that might help, I know it's not the same position, but it does help in terms of the reserve. Porzingis will not be making the all-star game because of injury. He probably is going to be out half the season. So that's another guy off the list.
Yeah, I feel like you talk about there was like three or four injuries in the East this year. They had like a completely different team, obviously, with the whole jumbled up LeBron, Steph Curry thing. But in terms of Eastern Conference representatives, there was like, you know, Drummond was a fill-in, Dragic was a fill-in, all these different fill-ins. And I feel like D'Lo is around, can be around that range, but I don't think he's, you know, on the range of like a Kyrie sort of starter where he's just a walk-up. That, I feel like, will take him 3 or 4 years if he continues on this path. And if, you know, the Nets continue on their path of winning and don't have any sort of, you know, missteps along the way. The Nets need to be playing playoff basketball for D'Lo to be, you know, an absolute contender in terms of his individual play. But at the same time, you know, you look at where the Pistons were, the Heat were. If the Nets are knocking on the door there, the Philly at that stage as well with Ben Simmons, if the Nets are knocking on the door there, then I think he's every chance. But if I'm leaning towards, I'll probably go towards he's probably not going to make it.
Yeah, it'd be tough. There's a lot of variables going into it. I would say, like you said, the next season, I feel pretty confident that he should maybe get a reserve nod if he keeps, you know, improving and spends a lot of work with Kenny and the staff this summer. You know, getting a full off season with the Nets, I think, is going to be really beneficial for him. And he mentioned it, you know, he wants to be better. He knows he needs to be better. And he has a better understanding of the system right now than he did when he first started. And his teammates, you know, some of the best lineups he played with is, you know, guys he's never played with before, obviously. Allen Crabbe, Joe Harris, Jared Allen. I think the fact Jared Allen's going to be better, it's just going to give him an amazing partner in the pick and roll where he strives.
Yeah, you look at Clint Capella and James Harden. That tandem is probably the best in the NBA today. And the fact that Jared Allen's only going to improve as well. You know, you look at where Clint Capella's come from. He's shot up this year to be a most improved contender. He's probably second in that category to Victor Oladipo, who's got it sewed up. But you know, Jared Allen is only going to improve. This is the basis, like, of all rookies is the basis of what you're going to see. You never generally see rookies get worse unless injuries befall on them.
Unless you're Michael Carter Williams.
Unless you're Michael Carter Williams. That's a fair call, actually. But at the same time, what do you prefer, Nick? This is just obviously a preference. Do you prefer a triple-double D'Lo? Do you prefer scoring D'Lo?
Triple-double D'Lo every night. You know, I think running the show and being a leader, you know, I don't mind scoring D'Lo if the points aren't there, but the way the Nets offense runs, it's a lot of guys scoring different amounts on every night. know, one night it might be Karras dropping 15. It might be Joe Harris dropping 20. Crabbe might drop 40 one game. Damari Carroll might drop 20. You know, there's just so many different guys. And I think the fact that he has the ability to make his teammates better, which is one of the most important things in all of sports, that he can do that and make his teammates better, I think that'll help the Nets more than if he's just out there dropping 30, which we know he can do. And I don't mind that once in a while or when it's needed or if you're hot. But I think the number one thing is making his teammates better.
Definitely. His first 12 games, that 5-7 start we were talking about, he was averaging 20.9 points, 5.7 assists, 4.7 rebounds per game. Those are the numbers across the whole season that they're all-star numbers. You know, I feel like that number, I'd prefer to probably see that at like an 18 points and a 7 assists, similar to like, you know, probably what Ben Simmons is averaging right now. Obviously, Ben Simmons has a completely different frame and a completely different game. But D'Lo has the capacity in terms of impact on the box score to have that impact. So, you know,
and they're high school teammates, which is funny enough.
Yeah, and he, I mean, he's, if we're looking at his Instagram, if we're taking a look at what he's been doing over the last couple of months during the playoffs, he's been spending a lot of time with Devin Booker, which I think is kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I mean, who knows what could happen in Phoenix? They've got a new coach and stuff. I'm sure Devin could be there for a while, but you know, there's. The Nets are building something kind of cool, and I feel like, you know, Devin Booker alongside D'Angelo Russell would be pretty sweet. And then there's the, I'm sure if you haven't followed D'Lo on Instagram as one of 2.4 million people, you got to do it. He's got a pretty cool page, awesome photos. Whoever's curating it, whether it's him or someone or one of his social media team, but his most recent photo of him looking at a goat. I mean, it's just you can't get better than that, but. He said himself that he doesn't know what his ceiling is. We've mentioned it. In terms of lineups, Nick, now, who do you want to see like alongside him in the starting lineup? Now, Jeremy Lin's obviously going to be healthy going into the season, and they're probably our two best guards at their best. Spencer Dinwiddie had a breakout season. Caris LeVert had a breakout season. Do you see three-point guard lineups similar to what's happening, or three-guard lineups similar to what's happened in Toronto, and to a lesser extent in Portland? Give me your sort of analysis in that sort of sense.
Well, Jack, I did a little research before we got on the show, and D'Lo's best five-man lineup from last season was himself, Joe Harris, Allen Crabbe, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Jared Allen. So no other guards. His best two-man combo was him and Jared Allen. So I think the most important thing for D'Angelo is having a pick-and-roll partner. And I think we definitely agree D'Lo and Jared Allen are going to start going to next season. It's the number two spot, number three, and four, which I think is very interesting. And it's going to be tough. Depending on what happens in the offseason, they could get other guys. It feels like it's Rondae's spot to lose. And Damari being the vet, it feels like they'll probably start him. And I feel like D'Angelo will benefit the most from spacing and having somebody like Allen Crabbe out there. Now, yeah. I think we could see the three-guard lineups, but they're going to have to step up three-point shooting-wise. You know, two of the four guards, including, you know, D'Lo, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jeremy Lin, if we keep all four, two of them have to shoot over 37% from three. Like, they need to be good from three for us to play those three-man lineups, especially with the system that Kenny runs. Now, if they're doing that, it's very dangerous because now you have playmakers and three-point shooters at three positions, and then you could even put out two guys that aren't even great offensively, you know, like a Jared Allen who's not developed yet in a Rondae or who maybe somebody they sign in free agency, and you're feeling pretty good. So if the three-point shooting can improve from the guards, I have no problem seeing three-guard lineups on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, you look at what's going on in Toronto. DeMar DeRozan improved his three-point shooting. Kyle Lowry is one of the best three-point shooting guards. Fred VanVleet's been a revelation from there. I feel like Jeremy Lin is underrated from there. Spencer did when he started well there, and I feel like he can only improve, hopefully. And Caris LeVert as well. Had talk about him earlier in the season, the fact that, you know, the shot was looking a bit shaky, but there's a spot that he likes out there. I think it's just basically the same spot as LeBron likes on that sort of left sort of elbow perimeter, sort of in the middle of like the corner and the top of the perimeter. He just loves that spot in terms of, you know, getting his three-point shot. It's just his comfort zone, so to speak. But in terms of where D'Lo goes from here, Nicholas, do you feel like he needs to play 82 games next year to sort of, you know, solidify himself as, you know, a bona fide superstar? Do you see him getting a max contract with these Nets?
I think it's the most likely scenario is him getting a max contract. The Nets made the move for him. They want him to be great. You know, marketing-wise, they have really pushed him. You know, Sean Marks has talked about him a lot. I think they just need to constantly just make him improve. And I think he will get the max contract if he improves at the level that we expect from him. And I don't think he needs to play 82. You know, his knee's bothering him a few games. Rest him. I really don't care. Make him play 70, though. I think if you play 70 games, that's fine. The time where you need to play 82 games is long gone. Like, it's not a necessity, especially with the way the NBA is and analytics and resting and all these guys getting hurt. You know, rest them if necessary.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're, in terms of today's NBA, the pace is as high as it's ever been. You know, the demand on players is as high as it's ever been. It's astounding that LeBron's 82-game season came in his 15th year in today's NBA. It's insane. But in terms of D'Lo's defensive capabilities, now we've all said, and there's been articles done to death on his, you know, defensive rating, the on-off rating when he's on defensively. Where does he specifically need to improve? Is it in terms of stealing? Is it in terms of just overall
toughness,
engagement?
Toughness. It's 100% toughness in physicality. He's a bigger guy, like you mentioned, Jack. He has a good frame. Sometimes around screens, he's just super timid and he doesn't want to make contact. Like, he needs to be stronger, run through screens, get some guys, get some offensive foul calls. Sometimes he, like, flops a little bit too much. Like, I get flopping, but if you don't hustle hard, the refs are never going to call that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of, if we're comparing it to James Harden, now James Harden was always a sieve on defense and he got plenty of memes and plenty of viral treatment in that sense. But this season he's gotten less of it because of not necessarily having a huge jump there, but because of just the fact that he's been not necessarily a great one-on-one defender, but in the post, because he's got that frame and that strength, you know, guys think they can back him down and sort of take it easy because he's got that sort of reputation. But James Harden's a decent post defender. Now, one-on-one, you know, Donovan Mitchell this series has been taking him off the dribble quite easily and, you know, making life for Clint Capela a little bit more tricky. But D'Lo doesn't need to be a great one-on-one defender because, as well, at the same time, we've got a Jared Allen there. So I feel like he just needs to be engaged and tough, like you said.
Yeah, I think a lot of the potential is there, and he's never going to be elite, but he can definitely put in more effort and physicality.
Yeah, you know, especially when you look at the best offensive players and the comparisons we made. CJ McCollum, not a great defender either. You know, you don't have to be great. You just have to be, you know, average to good and engaged. And that shouldn't take a lot. And I think for young players, it takes a little bit to sort of get that and within a new system and such. But enough D'Lo talk. Make sure if you guys hit up at OTG Basketball, follow the OTG Basketball on Twitter, and make sure you're following us on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Dash Radio, all that good stuff. But Infinity War, Nicholas, I'm sure you've been doing it to death with all your mates, but we haven't had enough Brooklyn buzz. We haven't talked about it enough with each other. Let's compare some Infinity War characters to some of our Brooklyn Nets brethren. Give me a first one. Like, give me who's D'Lo. Let's start there. Who is D'Lo?
Actually, Jack, we'll save the rest for another day, but I'll give you D'Angelo. This is a tough. I was actually thinking about this, and like the easiest one I have in my head is Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm not going to tell you who it is. D'Angelo, I'm trying to think of which Avenger is the least consistent but shows flashes of greatness. Yeah. And that's D'Angelo. And it's tough. It's really tough. And it's tough because the way they portray some characters are a little bit different than how they are. But I almost want to go with Scarlet Witch. Because her ability to just, like, you saw, sorry if there's any spoilers, like, it's been long enough, deal with it. Yeah, the movie came out last week. When she's there protecting Vision, and then all of a sudden she comes out on the Wakanda field and just bodies all those things, like, real quick. Yeah. And, like, she has the potential to be amazing, and, like, they don't use her enough, and she could really just body everybody. She lets her emotions get the best of her sometimes, and which could be the same said about D'Lo.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was going to say Spider-Man or Scarlet Witch as well, so... Guys, make sure you follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at OTG Basketball. The podcast, Brethren, is growing. JPT is killing it. Celtics Express is killing it. Players Watch is killing it. Make sure you're following all those. Give them a listen. Subscribe, review, all that good stuff. Nick, as always, a pleasure. Thanks again, guys.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking to one of my best Aussie mates and Jack. And like he said, check out OTG for everything. And we'll be back with more Brooklyn Buzz. Now that the first round wrapped up, you'll hear a lot more from us.